Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
9:05, and it's -3 right now. Actually, sorry, we've gone up like 2 degrees in the last 20 minutes. It's -1 in downtown Montreal. Kelly Alexander sitting in for Ken Connors on the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Hi, Walter.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am awesome, and I will just let people know that the lines are open for you. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text if you would like to text in to Walter. Please put your first name in the text, and if you'd like, even add the town that you're texting in from. Walter, I actually wanted to start off by asking you this. The roller coaster ride that we have been on with the temperatures in the last, like, well, it feels like 2 months, but specifically in the last week or so, with it going down to like minus a gajillion, you know, and then it's going up to like plus 15 at some point this week. Is this, you know, challenging for our houses, this roller coaster ride? Should we be watching out for anything?
This year, not particularly, because we didn't get a lot of snow. So okay. We didn't have a lot of snow accumulation for the snow to melt at very fast pace. But what happened a couple of days ago was indeed alarming in the sense that we got almost 100-kilometer winds with rain. Now, that's driven winds. And when you have driven winds like that, especially when you're in an open area with a wind tunnel, any weakness in the exterior cladding will lead to water coming in. I mean, that's including patio doors. You're going to have all issues of the patio door tracks filling up. If you're missing any caulking, then water will come in, mortar missing on your bricks, and so on and so forth. And that's really, where the challenge is when you have that combination is not really great. The gutters fill up very quickly, and you have access water. The ground is frozen, and yes, you might have water in your basements. Plus, with winds of that caliper, usually you can have some shingles flying off, and so on and so forth. But this year has been particularly kind to us as far as homes are concerned. We didn't get a lot of deep freezes. We didn't get massive amounts of snow. So, you know, so far, so good.
Okay.
Let's hope it stays that way for the month of March.
If you want to reach out to Walter, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text if you have questions about some home renovations. Actually, I'm glad you brought up the shingle situation because I wanted to ask you about that. You know, I'm not sure exactly what the warranties are, guarantees are, but I know it says something like if you redo your roof, like the shingles are good for 25 years. Is that really true?
It is true as far as, okay, so a warranty from a roofer is twofold. So you have the manufacturers themselves that will guarantee the shingle for 25 years if you buy a 25-year shingle. Now, there are shingles that are 50 years, and these are guaranteed as well for 50 years from the manufacturer. That doesn't mean that the labor part of it is warranted. So, for example, if you take Cambridge as an example, they have a 15, they have a 25, and they have a 50-year shingle. Most roofers will give you anywhere between 5 to 10 years warranty on your roof. Okay, so anything that happens that have to do with the labor part of things, obviously your shingles are not warranted because there's no decay, there's no degradation in the shingle itself. Where the manufacturer will honor that, if, for example, the shingles start breaking apart, start granulating or curling, then the manufacturer will take over the warranty. Only in a case where there's no other underlying issues causing that to happen. For example, if they come in and they inspect your attic and they find that you have no insulation or very little insulation in the attic, well, that will decrease, deteriorate your roof way quicker. So that might affect your warranty. Or if the installation was inadequately done, that will affect your warranty. So there's a lot of things that have to be studied before they say they're going to honor it or not. And that's only material, never labor. As far as roofers are concerned, yeah, it's 5 to 10 years. Usually that's the norm in the market. And they should come back and fix any problem that is in the roof. But like I always say, a roofer that does not go into your attic as in my dictionary, in my book, it's not a good roofer. Because they have to look at the roof as a whole system. So that should be part of you evaluating if the roofer is going to be doing a good job or not. Why I say this is because, let's say in the spring you have a water damage.
Mm-hmm.
And you call them and you say, well, that's not me. That's because you don't have enough insulation in your attic, or your soffits are blocked, or. I mean, your first intuition would say that would have nice to have told me before you took my money and did my roof,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because maybe the roof was good.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So that's pretty much where you have to kind of do the triage and make those decisions accordingly.
Okay. If you'd like to reach out to Walter, again, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. If you've got home renovations for Walter Assey, president of Renovco. It's Kelly Alexander sitting in for Ken Connors today. Mark from Kirkland has texted in Walter to 514-800 saying, I'm installing a glass shower on an acrylic base. The instructions say to apply caulking to the outside only. Is this correct?
The outside only does not make so much sense as far as we're concerned because you want to stop the water where it's coming from. So I don't know how is that possible. The water will come from the inside under the track and just stay at the channel. So that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. And now another text has come in just talking about what we were talking about before with roofs and shingles and all that sort of stuff. And there's no name to the text, but they ask, what if you have no attic, but you've got cathedral ceilings?
So you could have what you call, when we say attic, we mean that void that is between your roof and the drywall inside the house. So in this case, let's call it a hot attic. Okay.
Okay.
So that means there's no void. That space usually is filled with urethane or insulation, and it's not a ventilated space. That is possible. Where you want to know if you have a healthy cathedral ceiling situation or healthy roof situation is all going to be boiling down to the ice damming that you see, the icicles and what have you. So that decides if things are... if something is underlaying or it have to be corrected.
Okay. 514-800 by text. We'd love your first name and even the town that you're texting in from. That would be great. And the phone, 514-790-0800. A text from Mike in Rosemere. He says, Walter, could you let me know if I install a propane fireplace? Can the installer pass the propane line under a deck/patio with digging?
The install was, what do you mean with digging?
I guess with digging a trench or something for that cable?
So they won't do the digging themselves, that's for sure. Some companies might do the subcontracting for the digging, or they might ask you to do it prior to them passing. So what they do is they spray can it with an orange paint and they tell you this is the trench and that's the depth we need. So you can pass it under a deck, no problem. What you wanna ensure is to buy the right length pipe, so you don't want to have any connections underground. Now you can have a connection if you're outside, if you wish, when you are on the exterior part where the propane tank is, but you shouldn't have any, if possible, any connections underground. It is possible. There is a way when you do the trench, and if you're doing it yourself, what you have to do is you dig to the depth that the installer wants you to dig at. And when he puts his pipe, what we recommend strongly is that you backfill it with gravel to protect it. And then you put a treated wood on top with an orange, orange tape.
Okay.
In order for that to act as a warning sign in the future. If anybody's digging, not to understand that there's a propane line there. And that's often not done. Now, the gravel will protect the line, and that's important. And put caution tape. That's very important that you put caution tape as well. Because, you know, in the excavator, bright colors can be seen.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do those bright colors, the excavator is not going to see it. So that's why we say it's very important. And then they can pass. They can pass the pipes afterwards. But usually, they not themselves. They don't do it. It's two different licenses. That's pretty much it.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
It's 9:21 and minus 1 degree right now in downtown Montreal. Kelly Alexander in for Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey, president of Renovco. And thank you so much. Lots of texts coming in, some phone calls as well. So if you'd like to reach out by text, 514-800, we love your first name. And if you so choose, tell us what town you're texting in from. Also, if you'd like to, again, call in 514-790-0800 by phone. Walter, we had a text from Audrey, and she says that she is doing redoing her inside stairs. She's removed the carpet and bought the steps, but she wants to put up white risers. Where does she find these things?
So, I mean, when it comes to risers, the best thing for you to do is to cut them yourself if possible. So you can do it, if you're doing it in MDF, what you could do is you buy a sheet of MDF. That's the cheapest way to do it. And you cut it to size because, you know, the thing with risers, not every stair is done the same. There's codes, but you have 7-inch, 8-inch, 6 3/4 sometime and what have you. So what you want to do is you want to get the sheet. You could have it in wood if you prefer pine or anything like that, if you want to paint it. You cut it to size and then you prime it and then you paint it and then you install it. You do one coat and then you do the final coat after the installation. That would be the best, the cheapest way to do it. Any other way would be not really very practical unless you can find... I've never seen a riser per se ready to install like that, primed. But if you were to find something in that nature, which again I would find useless because of the different measurements, the other thing that you have to be very careful before you buy them, if you do find them, which I don't think something like this should be sold, make sure you measure every step, because sometimes the first step and the last step are not the same size. So that's where you might find it challenging. That's why we say buy the board and cut it yourself. It's much cheaper, easier, and will do a much cleaner job.
Earlier on in the show, you and I were talking about roofs and shingles and all that sort of stuff. And Tom has texted in asking about steel roofs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he wants to know how that works out.
That's a very general question, but okay. You mean metal roofs.
Yeah.
So metal roofs are great. Great in the sense that they don't decay, the snow slides way easier on them, the snow and the ice. Technically, if they're well installed, the lifetime, okay? But what you have to be very mindful when it comes to steel roofs, the water membraning happens below. It's the steel roof itself is not really the part that will stop the water infiltration, the preparation on the decking itself. So that have to be properly done. The other thing is when you have very long ridges, you want to ensure that you're installing ice guards, or you're going to be getting all kind of problems with snow sliding, because it slides very quickly. And you don't want to be having all these avalanches when you every time you step out of the house and, you know, be covered with them. So
yeah,
that's all have to be thought during the process and during the installation. But they're great. And they're actually, some of them are extremely nice to look at as well.
Amazing. We have a call now that we're going to go to from a Hunsick, Tommaso, who has a question about finishing repairs. Tommaso? Oh, there we go. Tommaso?
Yes.
There we go. Yes, your question for Walter.
Walter, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I can't complain. Summer's here soon, so soon everybody's going to be complaining that it's too hot.
Well, I'm not going to be complaining about that. That's for sure, Tommaso.
One fast question. Why is it that when we want to do some renovation, mm-hmm. okay, I actually found that it's easier to get in touch with the folks than trying to get an estimation from a renovation company?
To get in touch with what, sorry?
He said it's easier to get in touch with the Pope than trying to get in touch with a renovation company to get an estimate.
Well, I mean, it depends when you start the calls. It's a very common mistake that happens with homeowners, is that they call when the weather becomes
yeah.
It's like, oh, it's sunny now, let's do all kind of renovations. Renovation is all about planning, and the real success, 50% of the success of renovation is planning, designs, plans, color coordinations, and not making any rush decisions.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter, the good contractors, they get busy first. And then you are stuck with all the balance that is there. So when you're in demand, of course, you're going to be booked very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Best time to call is literally December, January, February. That's when we're starting to plan the seasons mm-hmm. and book accordingly and take the jobs. And at one point, there will be a cutoff point and people are going to say, no, we're not going to take any more jobs. And you are stuck with the remainder of the companies that are still available, right? So usually the ones that are still available are the ones that are not in demand, which should raise some red flags, you know, left, right, and sideways,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two is know who you're calling, what you're calling for. A lot of cases, you know, you're calling the wrong contractors and they can't, you know, if you're calling a framing company and you're asking them to do finished carpentry, well, you're not really calling the right place. So they might take you on as a job if they need it, but they're putting you at the bottom of the list. They want to serve all the other customers before. So it's really in the planning. It's calling, knowing who to call, when to call. If you're calling a contractor in the South Shore and you live in Laval, chances are you're not going to get very lucky there. Okay?
Nope.
So it's about geography as well. There's a bit of strategy in what who you're calling, what you're calling for, and so on and so forth. There's also the other aspect of it that is a very common, if you wish, very common mistake that happens. You have to evaluate the size of the company versus the size of the job. So if you're doing a major rehaul to your house and you're demolishing everything and redoing all kind of projects and you're calling, Joseph and his son to come and do the work, chances are things are going to go bad real quick. Okay. Because, you know, the job is going to take forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, your patience is going to run out, your money is going to run out, and so on and so forth. And you're not a designer, you're not an architect. So, you know, try to maybe understand that your limitations when you're doing these types of projects. And, you know, so you go into projects where people are making these huge decisions, but it's not really their specialty. So, you know, you want to have, in this case, a much more structured contractor that have designers, project managers, and all kind of trades under their command to get the job done right. So that's where, you know, we see most of the disasters in renovations. And unfortunately, we get a lot of calls for that, people calling in for us to finish jobs. This is really a very bad call for a contractor to get. You know, we don't like to receive these calls. Why? Many reasons. You are called in to finish something that someone else started. More often than not, they started it wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and the client is at the end of their patience, at the end of their budget. They're not happy. So you're not really dealing with someone that is excited about their home renovation. You're dealing with someone that's pissed off. So already, like...
You just want to get it done.
Yeah. They want to get it done. So you get there and then you're looking, okay, what's behind the wall? Was this done right? Or... You know, and in a lot of cases, you have to rip out everything and start over again, right? So,
mm-hmm.
again, it's all in the planning. It's all in taking the time and being strategic about everything that you do.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJD. If you have questions for Walter Assey, president of Renovco, call us up 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. You're listening to, again, the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Kelly Alexander sitting in for Ken Connors on CJAD.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. It's 9:35 and -1 right now in downtown Montreal. Kelly Alexander sitting in for Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Now, Walter, earlier on in the show, we had Mike from Rosemere who texted in to 514-800. And at the time, he asked if he could install a propane fireplace, passing the propane line under a deck. And he wrote, with digging. So we explained all that, or I should say you explained all of that. But then poor Mike texted in saying that, whoops, I guess it auto-corrected his phone because he wants to do it without digging. Yep. Is that possible?
That makes a big difference on my answer,
doesn't it? Yes, it does. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the quick answer is yes.
Okay.
if it's an area where there's no circulation, so there's no heavy machinery, there's no tractor passing, there's no people walking even, so under a deck is possible. You can install it below the 2x8s and with the proper brackets. Obviously, if you ever demolish your deck, it becomes a problem. So you have to remember that you have it down there.
Yeah.
But what my worry is where it's going to come out from. If there is a distance between between the deck and, the, say, the propane tank where it's going, that distance definitely will have to be underground, because now we're talking about circulation. So the quick answer is yes, you know, with just a caution mark. So just make sure that you're planning the exit of the pipe and make sure that, you know, nobody's going to walk in that area. Even if it's an area in the yard that, you know, you think people are not going to walk, it's not to code, because, you know, if a kid is playing there or, you know, something happens, you don't want to be on the receiving end of that. So, under a deck is not a problem. You know, the right size have to be chosen, obviously, the right size pipe. There are pipes that have extra protection on them. If you want to have that, you can even you can also install PVC protection sleeves on top of that.
Okay.
Just in case if you need to have extra protection. But the answer is yes.
Walter, I had a question for you just based off of that. When you are doing any kind of digging, do you not have to go to the vill or consult to make sure that there's no wires anywhere? Because you can have a bad problem if you start digging and don't know what's under there.
That is correct. I mean, unless you know your yard very well, which, you know, most people don't.
Yeah.
Usually you want to have things marked. If you have, for example, an underground wire, it's always a good idea to mark it and remember it, but definitely you need to go. And a lot of cases, if you're hiring a sub, it's their job. They have to go and they have to, you know, and make sure that they do, because sometimes they don't. They just ask you the question and say, okay, do you have gas? Do you have this? Do you have that?
Yeah.
But, you know, do you really remember everything you have underground?
Yeah.
It's not. So, especially in areas where you could have something as simple as an underground sump pump draining pipe, or even a gutter draining pipe, you know, that could be damaged. And, you know, it's a lot of work to dig everything out to replace it. So it's not always about electric. It's also about the other infrastructure you might have.
If you have questions for Walter Assey, president of Renovco, please do join us. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. And we always appreciate your first name in the text. And if you'd like to tell us what town you're texting in from as well. Walter, Carmelo texting in to 514-800 saying, can foggy windows be repaired?
Yes. So foggy windows mean usually it's a gap seal issue.
Okay.
So you have the two thermals, and when that seal breaks, you have foggy windows. So a lot of cases, you can repair it by, there's two ways. There, you could just replace the thermoglass, okay? Provided that, of course, if the frame is in good shape. Now, if you're repairing a 1981 window, it's not really worth it to replace a thermal on a very old frame.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say if it's a bit more recent and it looks in good shape. Simply by replacing the thermal, that will work. There are also companies that will take that fog out, but they're not putting the low E argon gas back. So when you don't have that, you lose R2 approximately. If it's double low E argon, can go to R3, R4. You're not getting that back if they're doing the just that particular repair. So you're using efficiency, but you're getting your view back. That's pretty much what it means. But the quick answer is yes. You just replace your thermal and off you go.
Another text has come in to 514-800 with no name. I'm sad about this. But they say, good morning. When I'm in the shower, water still streams from the faucet. What can I do about this, Walter?
Let's call him Jack so you don't get upset.
Okay, too sad. Yeah, that's fine.
Repeat the question.
Yeah, so when this person is in the shower, when Jack is in the shower, water still streams from the faucet.
water still streams from the faucet. I'm just trying to understand what that means.
Do you think it means like when he's in the shower and then like you have the shower on, but the water's still coming out below, like where it's streaming out as opposed to just coming out of the shower head?
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's the case, it's just a question of, looking at potentially the cartridge is still dripping after you close it.
Okay.
Or the switching mechanism. More often than not, it's just to replace the cartridge.
Okay. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. We have Dave in Gatineau calling in. You have a question about a heating system, Dave?
Yes, good morning.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, I've just moved to Gatineau from Montreal, where in Montreal, most of us heat with electricity. Here, I've moved and I've got a gas furnace that's quite old, actually. And I'm thinking I'm changing. I'm just wondering, should I stay with gas? Should I go to electricity? Just need information.
So you said gas. You didn't say oil, right?
Yeah, it's gas.
Natural gas.
Yes.
And you have natural gas next to you, so you're connected to the main?
Yes.
Okay. And it's, when you say it's quite old, how old we're talking?
The furnace is like almost 30 years old.
Okay. So just a quick thing about gas. As a furnace and as an efficiency, you can't get any better than that. The way the speed that a gas or even an oil furnace would heat the house, is there's no comparison between it and an electric furnace. So as far as efficiency, it works. The fact that it's still not banned, it actually works out fine for you because you can still have your dual energy rates.
Yeah.
And, if you were to replace it, what I would do differently is I would just get a variable speed type of a furnace. So it doesn't, because the problem with the old furnaces, when it starts full power. So you consume a lot. When you have variable speed, it will just gradually, take the energy it needs for what you're asking from it. So you tend to save a lot on the gas side of
things. I'm a little worried about the carbon footprint and maybe the fluctuation in prices of gas as opposed to electricity.
So here's what you could do. Do you have a heat pump?
No, I do not. But I do have an air conditioner. I was thinking whether I should go with heat pump,
okay,
electric furnace, or just stay with the gas.
So, look, if you go with a heat pump, the good news for you is if you go with a heat pump, it's down to minus 30. So your furnace will kick in extremely rarely in this case. It's maybe 1 or 2 days a year where you would have it kick in because the new heat pumps are extremely efficient. So, that would be a good compromise for you, by which you don't have to worry much about the gas prices because that furnace is only going to kick in 1 or 2 days a year, depending on the winters we have. Like this year, we didn't even have 1 day below minus 30. So, you're good. But as far as carbon footprint, I don't know anything about natural gas furnaces being banned. I know about oil. So you're still good with that. You're going to probably be good for another few years anyways. So, just make sure that if you are going to install a heat pump, that is going to be compatible with what you have right now, because that's going to create your problems if it's not.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the Home Improvement Show. It's Kelly Alexander in for Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey, president of Vernovco. If you have questions for Walter, please do join us. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. So, Walter, some text coming in to 514-800. Shirley is in LaSalle, and I guess because earlier on in the show we were talking about, roofs and checking your attic, and so she wants to know, who she should be looking for to check attics.
It's a good question, but you have to be a bit more particular when you're checking an attic. I mean, if you're checking the insulation, you call an insulation company. If you're checking mold, then you have to call a decontamination company. So, the attics have a lot of moving parts. The insulation guy will check the thickness of the insulation And they will check the soffit if they're blocked or not. They will check if you have, if you need any steel vents, but they don't have necessarily the expertise for mold removal. You want to check for the fans that are in the attic, all the mechanicals, meaning the plumbing vents, are they well connected to the roof? The bathroom fans, are they, insulated? Are they protruding out in the right area, and so on and so forth? So there are certain companies that can encompass all of that, usually general contractors that have more expertise than usual. Let me put it for you this way. They will look at the roof. They will look at the mechanicals. They will look at the mold situation, if you have any mold, and then they will look in the insulation, the steel vents, and everything else. But again, it's a question of why you're having your attic check. Is it because you haven't checked it in a while? Is it because you have problems with your roof, something chronic? Is it because you're losing a lot of energy? And then you can zero in on the experts. You can ask, make a list for the people, what you want them to inspect while they're up there. If you don't, not necessarily every, some people, especially specialized contractors, in a lot of cases, they will have their blinders on. They will only look about what they sell. Okay. so you don't want that to happen.
No.
And that's why I say it's very important that you ask them exactly what you want. Make a list and ask them, okay, how about the fans? How about the steel vents? How about the soffits? How about the insulation? Did you see any mold up there? Can you take me some pictures if you don't want to go out up yourself? And make sure they actually really do a 360. In a lot of cases, if you are agile enough, just poking your head through the hole, there's a lot that could be said.
Okay.
Just to kind of simplify it in a different way. If you go through the attic, and you look around, what you want to see is sunlight, 360 sunlight, uninterrupted and continuous.
Okay.
That means your soffits are open. Very important that I say uninterrupted, because that's how ventilation works. Okay. So the vents on your top of your roof would do zero efficiency if there's no intake from the soffits. Okay. So you can have 10 of them up there. They won't do you any good.
Wow.
Okay. Think of it as they need that positive air to create the circulation, and if when you don't give it to them, it's not going to circulate and it's not going to work.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, you can look at the thickness of the insulation and the spread of the insulation. So if you see some of it is piled over in one area because of the wind moved it around or people moved it around through the years, and then some other areas it's really lengthened, then, it's a question of spreading it the proper way. And anybody that's a bit manual and agile, very important, the combination,
mm-hmm.
Because it's a restricted, confined space. If you're manual but not agile, don't do that.
Yeah.
You spread it around and now visually you look and you make sure that everything is nice and uniform and you're good to go. And you kind of ensure that the thickness is right. So now that you've done these two, you just look around and look at staining, more particularly on the wood, because you won't see staining necessarily on the insulation. Anything that is, and it doesn't have to be black, by the way, because I don't know, for some reason, everybody likes to look at brown, black mold.
Right, yeah.
What they don't know is that mold comes in all colors.
Okay.
It comes in white, it comes in yellow, it comes in violet, purple.
Wow.
Yeah, there's about 270 identified species of mold in Canadian households. There's over 200,000 species of mold in the planet. Don't just look, again, don't just look for black mold, right? That's a misinterpretation of what mold is. And mold is microscopic fungi. So when you see any discoloration, that's the colony you're looking at. That's not the spores. There might be, where you see is that there might be a lot of spores that are airborne.
Yeah.
And if you want to have an indication where to look, you always look first where the fans are coming out. From the bathrooms, just to see if there's any leaks from the fan itself. That usually gives you a telltale sign. You look at the perimeters where you could have restricted airflow, okay, that also could create you issues. You look at staining as well. So water stains are telltale signs. Sometimes you have those pinhole leaks.
Yeah.
Okay. They're just coming from a nail in your shingle that yeah. is leaking, that was not properly caulked. And it's not enough to create a water damage, but it's enough to create a continuous damage on your roof. So these are the things that you want to look at when you're up there. So technically, anybody could do that as long as you are looking at that thing. The other more important thing, and the most important for me, is the temperature.
Okay.
So you go today, technically, you want the attic temperature to be as close as possible to the temperature outside.
Okay.
So it's minus 10 outside, you want it to be as close to minus 10 in the attic. If you're sticking your head into your attic and it's hot, or hotter than it should be, then that's telling you that there's an issue right off the bat. You don't even have to look if there's any blockage. There is a blockage, right? So these are the, if you want to just have a fast recap of what should be inspected in the attic, one item at a time.
Walter, thank you for this.
My pleasure.
That is Walter Assey, president of Renovco. It's Kelly Alexander in for Ken Connors. And up next, the car show with Lisa Christensen. However, she is away. So this week, George Inney of the Automobile Protection Agency is sitting in, and I'll be with him. So we'll join you right after the news on CJAD 800.